And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's going to let us know throughout the hour and how he feels, just like Nick did in Chicago. And we decide what we do. I don't expect him to have a pitch limit or innings. It's just a matter of how he feels, and we go from there.
All right, there you go. That's Alex Cora talking about Chris Sale just a short time ago, what the expectations are for Sale tonight as he returns to the mound and he returns to a playoff race in the final homestand of the year at Fenway Park as the Red Sox try to close in on a playoff spot. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Hour. We will take your calls up until 7 o'clock. Matt McCarthy is in studio, as he almost always is every Friday. Sometimes it's Thursday, but you get the idea. And so, according to Cora, no limit tonight for Chris Sale. No pitch limit, although we all know that's only half true. But I think what Cora is saying is that they're not going to alter the approach with Sale as he comes back from his COVID-related absence. So again, 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phones right away. Matt McCarthy is in studio, so we're going to start here tonight with this question, Matt. And we asked this on Felger and Maz as well, so let's ask you to start it, and then we'll see what the people have to say. And then I want to get to Cora's pregame presser as well, because I thought there was some informative stuff in there in terms of how the Red Sox are going to approach these final 17 days of the season, which is really where we're at. So if the Red Sox get into the play-in game, if they get in, is that enough for Chaim Bloom, particularly if the Yankees don't get in, is that enough for Chaim Bloom to look at everybody and say, see, all that noise about the deadline, and it was much ado about nothing, now we're in, and you people didn't know what you were talking about back on July 30th. Is that enough?
No. This is Boston, Maz. All right, this is the Red Sox. This is not Tampa Bay. This is not a small market. This is Boston. At the trading deadline, you were in first place in the division. You were among the best teams in baseball when it comes to the record. I think they had the third best record in baseball at the trading deadline. Since then, you know, they collapsed at the beginning of August before Schwarber arrived. Schwarber has had a tremendous impact on the lineup. He's hurt them, though, defensively. There's no doubt about it. So, no, if they get into the playoff game and they lose that game, that's not good enough. And I don't want to live in a world where getting into the play-in game for the Boston Red Sox with their resources, their everything, just being the Boston Red Sox, that's not good enough. It's just not. They win that play-in game, they win the wild card game, that's a different story. But if they get there, no, getting there is not enough.
Okay, so look, I'll tell you what the determining factor is for me. And that is that even if they get spanked in the division round, I'm not sure that that's enough. So I need to see them fight whoever's in the division round, and then we'll see what it looks like, and I'll make a judgment then. But the idea of them just getting into the playoffs, that is somehow some sort of validation of their approach at the deadline, to me is asinine. Now, again, I allow for the fact that that could happen, depending on what happens next, but they were a game and a half up in the division back on July 30th. Before they took the field that night, they were a game and a half up. And then after that point, they went into a spin. Schwarber did not play for 2 weeks. So I love what Kyle Schwarber has given the Red Sox offensively. How could you not? Defensively is a different story. He was never a fit on the roster, and as you pointed out, the defense has been bad. But Schwarber has hit. The problem is by the time he started hitting, they were five back in the division, and the division was gone. And I believe, and this is a big part of it for me, I believe that the inaction at the deadline, and again, Schwarber did not play until 2 weeks after the deadline. So the Red Sox didn't get any help there for 2 weeks and lost 6.5 games in the standings. I believe that that inaction affected the clubhouse.
Sure did.
I believe that those guys were annoyed. They had played their asses off. And again, maybe they weren't playing that great at the time, which is something that Bloom and Alex Cora have both noted. But I think the fact that the team did not go out and get help at that deadline while staying under the luxury tax, which is another big part for me, contributed to their demise.
Well, I think, you know, the really...
And let me just stop. Yeah. Demise is a strong word, okay? But their deterioration.
Contributed to them losing the division. Absolutely. And winning the division means so much in baseball now. So you want to avoid that wild card game. It's not like it used to be in 04 when the Red Sox went in as a wild card team, but were the second best team in the American League, if memory serves, when it comes to their record that year. It's a different world. Winning the division means something, which, as an aside, I like. I do. And the Red Sox just said, nah, we're good. I mean, that's the way they handled the deadline. They just said, we're good. Let the chips fall where they may. So now we're going to find out. 14 games, 17 days to go, 14 games, 8 at home. Let the chips fall wherever they may. We'll find out. We'll find out if Chaim Bloom's approach at the deadline ends up working. Because he said, I don't care about fit. I'm just going to construct the roster as a, you know, based on who's cheap, based on who I can get under the luxury tax, and screw fit and let's see what happens. Well, let's see if that works.
And I'll tell you, the way the schedule is set up, to me, there is really no excuse for them missing the playoffs at this stage.
Agreed.
Because the Red Sox have the tiebreakers in their favor. I'm not sure if a lot of people know this. But if there is a tie for the wild card spot, let's say the two teams tie, okay? Boston and Toronto both make it in. The Yankees don't. There is not then a playoff game to determine who gets home field.
Right.
The Red Sox have beaten the Jays in the season series.
They get
so the game would be at Fenway Park. They have already beaten the Yankees in the season series, which means that a game with New York would also be played at Fenway Park. And that's assuming that they remain tied in the standings. If whoever's ahead in the standings of the wild card race obviously will host the game.
But by the way, this very well could come into play.
Sure it could. Absolutely. Again, effectively, you have a three-way tie right now. And so, or is Toronto a half game up because they played yesterday? But in any case.
Either way, it's virtually a three-way tie. But, you know, to your point, Maz, and let's not ignore the importance of home field advantage in that wild card game. Not just for being in front of your home crowd, not having to go into Yankee Stadium and have 55,000 New Yorkers screaming at you. Defensively, think about alignment. You want to hide J.D. Martinez in left field at Fenway Park? Maybe you're able to do it to get your best offensive line. It is massive. Home field advantage in that wild card game is absolutely massive because it goes back to the deadline when Bloom said, screw fit, screw defense, screw all of this. You're better off playing that game at home. You are.
And so, look, I also think they've been a better team in this ballpark this year,
sure,
as historically most times they are. And if you were to look at the Red Sox in successful years, more often than not, they're very tough to beat at Fenway Park, and more often than not, they've won there in the postseason when they've won championships. So I think there is some connection to be drawn there. So here's what we're going to do. I want to get to phone calls right away here in the early part of the program tonight, and then I want to get to Alex Cora's presser because I thought that there was a lot of information there in terms of how the Red Sox are going to run it and pursue it over the final 2 weeks. One of the things that is great about baseball at this time of year is that it's not a marathon anymore. It's a sprint. So you're not playing for the long haul. There is, oh, we're going to give this guy a day off because it's going to pay off for us down the stretch. We are down the stretch. This is when you should get the payoff. Not to mention that the Red Sox have off days. They had one yesterday. They will have another one on Monday. They will have another one next Thursday. So they have all kinds of days off here that should benefit them down the stretch. I think the schedule favors them. Toronto also has a pretty soft schedule. But the bottom line is, I don't think there is any excuse for them missing the playoffs at all. But I do find it interesting when the manager talks at this time of year and you're in it because he lays out for you what the strategy is going to be. And you can see, when you see it on paper, you can actually see the change in philosophy from long-term to short. And so that's what Cora covered in some of his presser tonight. So we'll start it off tonight with Jason, who's in Pawtucket. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I think Bloom is kind of off the hook if they do make the wild card game, just because of how many games they're behind Tampa. Like, do you think that there's a trade they could have made at the deadline to make up 9 games on Tampa Bay?
Okay, so Jason, again, this gets into the math as we know it now. I think you have to go back to the math as it was at the deadline. And could they have made a move somewhere in there that would have affected the clubhouse a little bit more than it did? Do you believe that the clubhouse was negatively impacted by the trading deadline?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, so again, to me, that's a big part of it. I don't know how you leave that out. Like this idea that, well, you look at it now, it was 9 games. Tampa's better than them. Probably. Then how did they get ahead of Tampa over 100 games in the first place? How did that happen?
Right. So, I mean, you know, the whole issue here is, yeah, it's easy to look in hindsight. But your point is, Maz, they were a game and a half up at the deadline. Let's just say you add bullpen help. Let's say you add a real first baseman. Maybe you don't win the division, but do you get blown out of it in the first week of August the way that they kind of did? I mean, because that was a collapse. It was a complete and total collapse. And you say, okay, we're focusing on the wild card now. So maybe in the end you don't win the division, but at least it would have felt like you tried a little bit more. You know what I mean? Again, it's the let the chips fall where they may approach that Bloom took at the deadline that I think is worthy of a second guess.
Yeah, and I would also say, Matt, do not underestimate the importance of having some cushion at the end of the year.
Sure thing.
It allows you to rest players. It allows you to get your pitching in order. This was something the Red Sox believed in strongly for a long, long time, that it was better to have a little bit of a cushion in the final week or two so that you could get your pitching in order and get ready for the playoffs. When you have to play for your life, now it's all systems go all the time, and October suddenly gets a little bit longer as a result. So what you're going to introduce is fatigue. These are stressful games now. Okay, these are stressful games, and their bullpen's already fatigued. Will's in Boston. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have 2 points. My first point is I agree with you that I think the Red Sox have a very soft schedule, and they need to maximize the end of the season, especially using Sale and Eovaldi and, you know, other parts of the bullpen like Whitlock and even Richards as well. I think they need to maximize the pitching staff with the days off. I don't know, and I know they didn't do much at the trade deadline, but I do agree that this team has no excuse for not making the playoffs. I don't know how you feel about that.
Okay, look, to me, you got to get in. You got to get in. If you don't get in and you miss it, then everything we're talking about Bloom, this hypothetical is irrelevant. They blew it. And I said this at the time, and I haven't changed my mind. If the Red Sox fall apart and miss the playoffs, we will look back to how they started playing around the All-Star break, and more importantly, the trading deadline as the period of time that took them down. That will be it. We will look back at that and say they didn't do enough in those 2 or 3 weeks in the middle of the year, and it ultimately caused them to miss October. That's how we will ultimately that'll be our ultimate verdict is sort of what I'm getting at. So the caller did mention how they're going to use the pitching staff, the off days, all of that. This is exactly what Alex Cora talked about when he met with the media today via Zoom for his typical standard pregame press conference, okay, or teleconference. And I thought there was some interesting stuff in there. I also thought there was something really interesting that Cora said with regard to the perception of his team in the second half of this season. And I thought it was a really, really honest and, insightful answer. Mature answer is a better way to put it. So we'll play that for you as well here on the Baseball Hour. Don't go anywhere.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Eh.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, at what point do you regard Houck to be available out of the bullpen?
There's a good chance tomorrow he'll be in the bullpen.
And how do you envision utilizing him in this way? Would they be multi-inning stints or maybe an inning in a high leverage spot? What would you do?
I mean, where we at right now, I think everything will be on the table, right? This guy can give us 9 outs like he did in New York early in the season, and he can come in and face a pocket of righties and do his thing on multiple days, right? So it's good to have him. It's good to have Garrett It's good to have G Rich, all those three righties that can go multiple innings. But the more we have, the better matchups we're going to get throughout the rest of the season. And we'll adjust. We'll play the game accordingly, right? But having him is going to help us tremendously in the bullpen.
Yeah, that was Alex Cora in the pregame, and I want to get back to your calls, but just bear with me for a moment. Because we spend a lot of time bitching about how long the baseball season is, how meaningless the games are, relatively speaking. And then you get to this stage where it's September 17th. The season ends 2 weeks from Sunday. So counting tonight, you get 17 days left in the season. And now the games all matter. And every decision matters. And so the Red Sox, as I said, have off days, Matt, on Monday and Thursday next week.
Yeah. And
the Mets come in for two, and then the Yankees come in for three. And those off days are huge, because it allows them to effectively go with a four-man rotation. So what you're going to get now is you're going to get Chris Sale tonight. You're going to get Nick Pivetta tomorrow. Evaldi on Sunday. Eduardo Rodriguez on Monday. Cora would not announce his rotation beyond that. But the great likelihood is that it's going to be Sale again on Tuesday.
Or Wednesday. Because it's Wednesday. Tuesday, Wednesday next week. And then they get the off day on Thursday.
Correct.
And then they have an off day against the Yankees after the Yankees series, too.
So it gives
it's
you
a soft landing.
Yeah, it gives you great flexibility with your pitching staff. So what that means now is Tanner Houck's going to the bullpen. Okay? And you heard Sean McAdam ask the question there, how are you going to use him? Are you going to use him long innings? Are you going to use him situationally? And Cora said, well, everything's on the table. And this is what is great about this time of year. There are no restrictions now. And you heard him say, we also have Garrett and G. Rich. He means Whitlock and Garrett Richards, who actually has been surprisingly good out of the bullpen.
Always believed, Mass. My guy.
So now, look, again, Garrett Richards would not be my first choice. But all of these guys are in the mix. So Cora now has all these guys at his disposal, along with a couple of lefties out there, and Darwin's and Hernandez has been okay lately. I still don't love the walks, but you have options, let alone Big Fudge. Okay, and again, another left-hander out there. So now you get three to choose from. So you have a lot of ability to mix and match, play matchups, just grind every game down to every pitch and every at-bat. So I'm going to warn you right now, the games are going to get longer. This is what happens when you start playing meaningful games, but at least these decisions are ones that we say, okay, but these are huge games.
I'm jazzed up, Maz. I mean, to me, it's almost like baseball season starts tonight. This is real baseball. 8-game homestand, 14 to go, and the pitching staff is set up perfectly for those final 14. I mean, the stars are aligned for them to make the division series, and I'll lay it out here for you. So you're going to go essentially three times through your rotation, except it's only going to be a four-man rotation now. The final Sunday of the year, you need one guy to go four times through. You know who that is?
Sale.
Chris Sale. Chris Sale is lined up for the final Sunday of the year if you need him. Nathan Eovaldi, who's your best pitcher, he's lined up to pitch the wild card game on regular rest.
As of right now.
As of right now.
Okay, now obviously if they were to clinch before that,
sure,
that could change.
Then Sale doesn't pitch on that Sunday and you figure it out. But they have lined this up. You know, as you just said, it's as loaded as their pitching staff is going to get all year. You have your four best guys lined up ready to go for these final 2 weeks of the year over the course of these 14 games. You get to move Houck to the bullpen where he's much better suited. And frankly, I think he could be a weapon for you going down the stretch. He's good one time through the order. We know that. I mean, he's got that wipeout slider. I really like the idea of piggybacking him behind Sale. They've got a lot of options. Their pitching staff is as set up as it will ever be. The stars are aligned for them.
And as they get guys back from COVID here, they have a lot of options in their lineup, too. First base, Kyle Schwarber, Bobby Dalbec. What do you do? J.D. Martinez, Alex Verdugo, Enrique Hernandez, Jose Iglesias, who started a terrific double play the other day. Travis Shaw, lots of options. And tonight, as Matt pointed out during the break, Kyle Schwarber on the bench against a left-handed pitcher, Bobby Dalbec in there. And I think that that is the right call.
I do, too. I will just say I don't like their fit in the lineup as much. It's a lot of tough decisions for Cora, where I feel like the pitching staff is kind of shaped, rounding into form here. They're going to have to decide between a guy like Schwarber or Verdugo every night. Or are you going to sit Dalbec even though he's hot and put Schwarber at first base and run the risk of him costing you a game there defensively? I don't like their fit in the lineup, and I don't like their fit in the field. I like their fit right now when it comes to their pitching staff. It feels like it's as good as it possibly could be.
I do feel like they started to turn a corner a little bit in Seattle. The schedule's going to be soft. They're getting people back. So I'm not blowing smoke up anyone's backside. I said this to Felger off the air the other day. I feel like they're about to get hot. I hope I'm right.
Too.
I would like to see them in the playoffs, but we'll see how it goes. And by the way, the Orioles have another lefty going tomorrow. Okay, so if you use today as any sort of barometer, in theory, Dahlbeck will be at first base. But don't hold me to that, and don't hold Alex Cora to that, because the Red Sox just don't go straight left-right anymore. There's all types of stuff in terms of what kind of lefty, you know, which tunnels is the ball coming through. You're going to get all that. They may deem Schwarber a more favorable matchup.
So you better hope Cora gets hot, because he's going to have tough decisions to make with that lineup every night, and you better hope he hits the right buttons.
It's a good point, Matt. Paul is in New Hampshire. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, hi, guys. Hey, I'm a convert from one of the competitor stations. I think you guys are a lot more informative and a lot more entertaining both. So I've got a theory about Bloom at the deadline in the Schwarber deal. I think it's pretty clear he didn't have any interest in helping the team this year. I think he picked up Schwarber to hedge his bets for next year in case J.D. Martinez opts out. He ends up getting at least being able to throw some money at it, possibly a great DH hitter in Schwarber. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, so Paul, it's a possibility. If I remember right, Schwarber has a dual option on his contract.
Mutual option, yeah.
Okay.
For 11.5.
Yeah, so Schwarber's had a good year. If I'm him, I'm going to the market.
Yep.
I think I'm getting better than that on the open market.
Particularly if they go universal DH in the new CBA.
I mean, the one thing you love, you always want a good lefty bat in your lineup, and Schwarber's a good lefty bat. Now, look, is he a 270 hitter for his career? No, he's in the 230s. But he's also in his 20s. Guys do develop. He feels like he's got great command of the strike zone, though he's always had that. It wouldn't kill me if he stayed. Don't get me wrong. I like Schwarber, but I think he's going to hit the market. And I think J.D. Martinez is going to stay. That's what I think. Sarah's in Norwood. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. I just had a couple of questions for you guys. The first one is, are there any teams that are in, you know, playoff contention that have any makeup games that need to be played that could affect the wild card? And my second question is, what players do we have that will not make a playoff roster because of the timing of when we acquire them? And of those, who will we miss the most? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so I didn't catch the last part, Matt. What did she say at the end?
Guys who would not be eligible for the postseason roster, that would be Iglesias, right?
Iglesias,
he's not eligible.
Yeah, and that'll hurt.
Yeah.
That'll hurt.
Like he's given them something a little
bit. And at the very least, he's given them someone who can play defense at an elite level. Again, if you didn't see it, go look at the final play of the seventh inning the other game, in the Seattle game the other day. The last play of the seventh inning was a 4-6-3 double play that the Red Sox do not turn if someone other than Jose Iglesias is at second base. And it was a subtle thing. I mean, but his hands are magic. They always have been. Fielded the ball and gave a little sideways flip to Bogarts. It happened very, very quickly. And I don't think anyone else on the team is skilled enough to do it. Her other question concerned
makeup games.
Makeup games. Here's
I don't believe so.
Well, so when you say makeup games, the Yankees and the Reds and the Jays rather have one more game to play than the Red Sox.
Okay.
Do. Okay. And I think that some of that is because of off days. Some of that is because there was a backloading for those teams, whether it be the result of makeup games or not. But they have not played the same number of games. Boston has 14 left. New York and Toronto have 15 left as the teams go to the field tonight. So, McCarthy will get you caught up with your headlines. I want to get back to more of Cora and what he said during his press conference. One thing concerned the four-man rotation and the pitching rotation going forward. We'll play that for you. And then Cora was asked something very interesting by John Tomasi of NBC Sports Boston about whether or not he ever bought into the notion, or he heard people say, you know, the Red Sox ended up where they are because they were really never that good in the first place. We'll tell you, we'll play it for you. How Alex Cora answered that question when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show where it's always a full count.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. The Baseball Hour with Tony. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That people gave up on us or whatever, I don't know. I never take that personal. I think, I was part of the media, and I gave up on a lot of teams in 5 years. So I was a guy that picked wrong teams and run MVPs, so I know how it is, you know. I love the fact that throughout the summer and right now, people are talking about us, which is very important, you know. And for a team that nobody thought that it was going to be relevant throughout the season, we've been relevant, you know, and for good or bad, right? People talk great about us, or they talk bad about us. And it's still a topic here in New England, here in this area. So I like the fact that, you know, we're still in the hunt. We're still in the middle of this. And I know that it should be fun the next week.
That's Alex Cora with an answer to a very interesting question by John Tomasi of NBC Sports Boston. Tomasi said to him, look, all this stuff that people were saying, you know, they're really not that good. They played over their heads in the first half. What was your take on that? Cora said, look, I'm not offended by it. I worked in the media. I know what it's like. I had five guys winning awards. Man, I was wrong about them too. And so, this is Boston. This is New England. People care. They're going to talk about it. And, good or bad, that's a good thing for us. These next couple of weeks should be fun. The fact that this is Boston or New England, people are going to talk about it. Do you still believe that, Matt?
Not the way it once was, no. Which I think is a bit of a bellwether for baseball itself. Like, if this town isn't as passionate about baseball the way it once was, then the rest of the country isn't as passionate about baseball. Because this is truly, and I will always say this until the day I die, Maz, if there's a baseball town, it's a place like Boston. New York, like they're just a few cities that to me will always be baseball towns. And if it's not as passionate in Boston the way it once was, then that means it's not as passionate in the country the way it once was. So I agree with that. I mean, I think there are people who still care about it, but not the way they once did.
No, I would say it's much more on the level now of what like the Bruins and Celtics are.
Sure.
And that is sort of a seasonal thing. And, again, you have your hard cores, but even then I question whether that number is dwindling. And I think the Red Sox know it. I think you've heard them talk a lot in the last couple of days about how they're expecting a good atmosphere at Fenway Park. And they've had, relatively poor attendance this year. The stadium has been filled at 68% capacity. We're used to that place being sold out all the time. 68%. So it'll be interesting to see what the crowd is like there tonight. Sales on the mound. Mm-hmm. Last homestand of the year. Playoff spot at stake. So let's see whether or not there is still a little bit of juice left there. I'm eager to see what it looks like tonight in the ballpark. You know, again, I'm going to watch the game on TV, but you can tell. And so, let's see whether people rally around the team. I just don't think you're ever going to get what we've had in the past. Jeremy's in Brookfield. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Matt. So I just wanted to call a couple quick points. About the Red Sox schedule and their path to the playoffs. I'm a Yankees fan, and I feel very comfortable saying that the Yankees are not going to make the play-in game. And if they do, they're going to have to do it by the seat of their pants. So I think it's really going to come down to the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Just when you look at their schedule, it's very winnable. And the Yankees is actually pretty tough. But I just really hope that whether it's the Red Sox or the Blue Jays, they beat the Rays. I think the Rays are the team that is the worst for baseball. They have no money. There is you couldn't tell me right now off the top of your head who the Rays pitcher is with the most wins. They're so bad for baseball, and I can't stand them.
Yeah, Jeremy, look, I agree with you. Yeah, I can't stand the Rays either. I think they're bad for the game.
They've destroyed baseball. They're at the forefront of it.
And Tom Verducci wrote something like this for Sports Illustrated a couple of weeks ago. We read some of it on the air. I think he's dead on. I think they've perfected the art of analytics so they can exploit matchups. The reason the Rays win is because of how they manage the game. So Kevin Cash is part of that. But the point is, they're analytics-driven. And my answer to that is, well, who the hell goes to the ballpark to see someone play fantasy and, and get the right matchup at the right time with a platoon player? Nobody. You want, this is why nobody goes to the Rays games. And I don't care what their television ratings are. 8,000 fans a night. I know the ballpark sucks, but if the team was good enough and the people cared enough, they would go.
It's an embarrassment. The Rays are an embarrassment to baseball. The best thing that can happen to the game is getting them out of Tampa Bay, getting them in Montreal, getting them wherever else. Hell, Montreal, for the love of God. I'd rather have them in Montreal because maybe you run the chance of people showing up there, and then they're not as forced to do this. Like, the Rays do this out of necessity. The Red Sox want to emulate the Rays, but they don't have to do it out of necessity. And I guess I would just say, like, yeah, the Rays are creative. They do this, you know, and it's remarkable what they accomplish, but they never, ever win. So is it good for baseball in the end, what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing, making it nameless, faceless? No, not at all.
No, it's not marketable. That's the thing. The Rays are not marketable. The first thing the caller said concerned the schedule, and just so, again, everyone's aware of it, Matt and I were talking about this during a break, and I think it is something that, to me, it's worth keeping an eye on. The only series, I shouldn't say the only one, the Red Sox have a couple of series that are interesting, and they're both next week. They have a two-game series with the Mets, and then three with the Yankees, both here at Fenway Park. Okay, the Mets series is Tuesday, Wednesday. The Yankee series is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's a three-gamer. They have six games with the Orioles, three here this weekend, and then three in the final week of the season. The final series of the year is played at Washington. And that, in theory, should be a layup. Because instinctively, you want to look at that and say, well, the Nationals completely sold off everything they have or had at the deadline. They're 60-86. They are a wretched outfit and a wretched organization. And yet, that series concerns me a little. And not because it's on the final weekend. The reason it concerns me is because the Red Sox are going to be without a DH in that series.
Such a great point.
And so in interleague games this year, the Red Sox have fared well. They're 11-4.
But all of those happened before the trading deadline, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't remember how many of those were on the road or here. I'd have to go back and look, Matt.
Yeah, they played at New York. They played at Philadelphia in May.
Did they play at Miami, too? Didn't they play down there, or was that up here?
I think they played at Miami.
Okay.
Well, so, they played at Atlanta. That was a good series.
Okay. So that,
but all before the trading deadline, when they changed the complexion of the roster and the defensive alignments, defensive capabilities.
Okay. So the thing that worries me about it is that right now, for example, you're losing a bat because they have too many players for the positions. Kyle Schwarber's going to sit for the start of the game tonight. Once you go to the National League ballparks, you are going to lose another one because the pitcher has to hit, obviously. So that means who? J.D. Martinez or Dahlbeck or Verdugo? And people, I know what people are going to say. Well, you've said Dahlbeck sucks all year. He's playing well now. I said he sucked all year because he was sucking for most of the year. So now he's been good. Now he's hot. Now I want him in there. And I just think it is something to watch that they, they're going to lose a second bat now in those National League games. And again, they should win in spite of it. It shouldn't be that big of a factor. And their roster is now versatile enough with capable players that they can get around it. But to me, it is something to keep an eye on.
The best way to put it, Maz, is the Red Sox and Alex Cora struggle on a nightly basis to get both Schwarber and Martinez in the lineup. And frankly, it looks like, not to say they're giving up on it, but it's hard. That's in the American League ballpark because you got two DHs. Now you're going to go to the National League ballpark. Good luck getting both of your DHs in the lineup when you don't have a DH spot that you can use. It's already difficult enough for the Red Sox in an American League ballpark. If they really need those games, I mean, your best defensive alignment involves not having Schwarber or Martinez in your lineup.
Correct.
You can't do that.
Yeah, correct. You won't have either one. Right. No, you'll have the ability to bring in either one or both off the bench to pinch hit in a key spot for the pitcher, and there'll be more opportunities to do that. So there's certainly a chance there to gain on another side, but I'd rather take the four at-bats every night. The plus for the Red Sox here over the last 2 weeks, off day yesterday, off day Monday, off day Thursday, and then the following Monday they're off again. So in this stretch of 14 games, counting yesterday, they have 4 days off, which is going to give them great flexibility on that pitching staff. Cora was asked how long he would go with a four-man rotation. Here was the exchange.
We got Sale today. We got Pivetta tomorrow. Nate on Sunday. and we got Eduardo on Tuesday.
And would it stay with the four-man rotation because of the off days?
We will make adjustments throughout because of the off days.
Okay, so again, that was Cora's answer about sticking with the four-man rotation. And as you know, that was Johnny Miller at WBZAM asking the question. And he said, well, we'll make adjustments because of the off days. They might even skip people in there. Okay, so again, they have an off day Monday, mm-hmm. off day Thursday. Eddie Rudd, did I get that right?
Yeah. Rodriguez goes Tuesday.
Okay, so they could, in theory, skip over Eddie Rodriguez yep. the next time through. And so, which I would not rule out.
You're right.
They could skip over him.
And they will. And here's why. Because then that allows them to go four guys through that final time through the rotation. Those final six games.
Yes. Yeah, so
they won't have to go back. To my understanding and to my math, and Lord knows we should not do math anywhere from 2 to 7. But based on my math, they don't have to go to a fifth starter for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they don't. They don't, Matt. And again, now, you know, the final week they'll play six games in a row, right? Mm-hmm. So they would need one at that stage.
Right.
But the bottom line is they could skip someone until they get to that stage. So they could even go what effectively amounts to a three-man
yeah.
over that period of time. And so I would keep an eye on that. I would not rule that out. I think that Cora is creative enough to do that sort of thing where he says, we got all these off days. They are literally going to have an off day Thursday and an off day Monday after an off day Monday, right? So yep. in the span of 8 days, they're going to have three off days, two Mondays and a Thursday. And I know I'm making people's heads spin right now.
The quick synopsis of it, Maz, is they've got 14 games left and they can start Chris Sale four times in those 14 games, including on the final Sunday of the year.
Jimmy, do you think people's heads are spinning right about now?
Mine is.
I know. Because, again, when we start throwing out all these scenarios, the bottom line is this. After Tuesday, Eddie Rodriguez might not have to pitch again next week. He might not have to. The Red Sox are going to have lots of options, and I would keep an eye on how Cora handles that because they have great flexibility in their rotation.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.